Cicero. Boo. Lumines switched, and that's funny. Like, just last night, I was like playing Lumines on PSP and thinking, yeah, it's about time for them to make another one of these. What possessed me to bust out the I mean, I was playing the PSP version of Lumines, I guess, I would say. Doesn't necessarily mean that I busted out a PSP. I own both versions of Lumines 1, or I mean, I own a Japanese version and a US version of Lumines 1. I've bought a lot of copies of Lumines over the years, I guess. The 360 version, but I don't think I own them all. I feel like there was one port to some downloadable platform that maybe I didn't get. I forget. Maybe I didn't buy it. Like, I think they put out DLC for the 360 version of Lumines, right? I don't think I bought all of it. Lumines these days. Okay. I wasn't sure if Enhance had all of the Q stuff or what the business situation is there. If Q still exists, I don't know what the
Now we just got to get an iOS version of Meteos. That was it. Didn't Lumines come to phones? I don't think I ever played that. I remember hearing that it was straight up booty. Super funny, because I had planned to come into this podcast today and say, I played Lumines on the PSP yesterday, it is time for Lumines to come to another platform. stopped on the freeway. Great. Yeah, Sea of Thieves is weird. Sea of Thieves is a really strange thing. Coming out of that beta, all my feelings were definitely like, well, when they put all the content into it, it'll be, you know, hopefully that'll be cool. And then there wasn't, I don't know. Like, there's an there's like a really neat framework there that I think is cool and can be fun. But, like, I'm not necessarily looking for, like, multiplayer ship battles. Like, I don't necessarily find naval combat, like old ship come about, shoot off the side of the boat type stuff. That's never been... That's not really my thing. Maybe if you go all the way back to the original Sid Meier's Pirates... I was kind of into that there. I was into that game, but...
So hard his handcuffs fell out. Think about that. He was handcuffed. His handcuffs fell off because Brock was hitting him with the chair so hard.
Oh my God, man. Listen.
Yep, that's what happened.
Some whoopings in my lifetime. And that one right there, that's up there with the best of them. I mean, you get a guy, and plus, if you handcuffed, you can't even defend yourself. And when he took that German, that first German, I was like, man, that's going to really, really hurt your shoulders. Like, you better keep it close. But, I mean, he took it, and I was like, wow. Like, it's so much that could have went wrong that didn't. I'm just glad that they were able to get through that without there being any real catastrophic injury. Getting put on a stretcher and being stretchered out is bad enough.
Yeah, and then getting that stretcher knocked over by Brock Lesnar when he came back out again. I mean, it was unrelenting.
So disrespectful.
It was disrespectful. Now, let me ask you this, because the beatdown was fantastic, but did it work? Because, you know, Roman was still getting booed, but I will say this, Brock was getting booed as well.
it's about time.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that people are, the novelty of his greatness is starting to wear thin with people. They want to see Roman without his hands being tied. And I guarantee you that Roman is going to be the first one to say, look, my hands were tied. Like, why don't you put some handcuffs on, let me whoop you and see how it works out for you. So now, let's see what it's going to look like with both guys standing across from each other. And it's not over. I'm going to tell you that right now. Roman is in cryotherapy right now, trying to heal up so he can give Brock that ass whooping back. I can promise you, the dude got salt and vinegar in his blood. He wants you to feel pain. And y'all need to respect Roman Reigns' gangster, because I've seen it up close and personal. And now
I do respect Roman Reigns' gangsta, Mark Henry. I do.
And we're, less than 3 weeks away now, Mark, to WrestleMania, and I'm wondering what we're going to see over the next couple of weeks from Roman Reigns. I mean, Kurt Angle suspends him. He's in the ring, gets handcuffed. Brock gives him a beatdown. I'm wondering what we're going to see for Roman next Monday night.
If I was Brock, I would come to the arena with a football helmet on. Because Brooklyn is going to give him the business, you hear me? I know him. I'm telling you, this boy is, like, he going to be so pissed. Like, I mean, it's disrespectful, I mean, he got to hear from his family, too. So you got to think about that. Like, he going to the locker room, and the first thing people going to say is, so what you going to do? I guarantee you, that's the response. What are you going to do? And I'm looking forward to seeing what that's going to be. Brock, get a helmet and some shoulder pads. Like, it's not going to be nice. Hire some security. As silly as that might seem, I would not show up to the building by myself. No way.
And I mentioned the crowd reaction. And listen, Roman's going to have his haters. That's never going to change. But to hear Brock finally get booed, when he was sitting in with those chairs, Brock was getting booed last night in Texas, and that's what you want for Brock Lesnar. I think when we get to WrestleMania in New Orleans, I think it's going to be a bit of a split from that crowd. There's going to be the people that are going to hate on Roman, but I think there's going to be a lot of hate for Brock Lesnar as well.
I think a lot of it, too, was he had handcuffs on. And people are like, oh, man, that's so low and disrespectful that you would beat a dude that had a handicap and you're Brock Lesnar. Like, let the people take the cuffs off him and then try it. But you know what? That guy's always going to get booed. Anybody that jumps on somebody that's at a disadvantage.
Even though we're just a few weeks out from WrestleMania, Mark, and there's a couple more Raws before we get to New Orleans, there's a couple more live events, because the train just never stops when it comes to the WWE. As somebody that's competed at a high level, for somebody that's competed at WrestleManias, what's this time of the year like for a WWE superstar? Because there's got to be things going on in your head. Listen, we just saw it at Madison Square Garden just a few nights ago. AJ Styles got injured. We don't know, the extent of that injury. But those are things that you have to worry about as you get closer to WrestleMania, the biggest event of the year.
You want to be healthy, ultimately, for WrestleMania. When it starts getting close, I had a couple of WrestleManias that I missed because of injury. And, man, it's just a horrible feeling to go in and be that close and not get to touch the stage. And everybody right now is doing their best to be healthy so they can go into WrestleMania 100%. And you're never 100%, but you want to be as close to it as you can be. And right now, AJ is one. You look at Roman after the whooping that he took last night. Like, you really going to have to rest up and, cryo and ice it down and get your ART and stretch and do everything that you can to keep your body healthy.
I mean, do you have that time to rest? I mean, you would think at this time maybe, because you want to be prepared for what's going to happen in New Orleans in April. But, with Raw, SmackDown, all these live events, I mean, is there time to rest your body before WrestleMania?
I mean, there's time, but that's up to you. As soon as you leave the arena, if you got a 3-hour drive, like, you know, that drive is going to kill you. So that morning you wake up on Tuesday or Wednesday, whichever show you're on, like the first thing you do is you call your therapist and you call the ART and massage person. You go and to your chiropractor and get adjusted, and you train for condition, not for strength, because at this point, all the hay is in the barn. The cake's in the oven. You're not going to get any stronger. You're not going to get any bigger. You need to be more enduring. So all of these guys are trying their best to maintain and just get to mania without there being a disability. They're going to be in pain, but they don't want to injure.
You know, speaking of Roman, because you said, you know, you talk about the beatdown that he took, the chair shots that he took, the Germans that he took in the ring from Brock Lesnar. I mean, how much pressure is on Roman right now? You know, he gets love from the crowd, he gets hate from the crowd, but he's the guy right now. This is the main event for WrestleMania. You know, for somebody that you know very well, you've been in the locker room with, I mean, he's still young when it comes to being in the WWE. What type of pressure does Roman have on him right now? And can he handle the pressure that's on him right now?
Roman is under supreme pressure. I know what it's like to be able to go to the arena with that title on your shoulder and the whole show revolving around you. You know when the show starts, they're going to talk about you. You know that you're going to have to be the guy to go out and do a rebuttal. You're going to have to be able to do a short segment. You're going to have to do a long segment. And then you may have to do a dart after the show is over just to pay homage to the crowd. With that much on your plate every night, you tend to sometimes start to wilt a little bit. But I don't see Roman, he's still young, so I don't see him wilting and kind of, you know, tanking, if you will, doing like Dallas Mavericks and, you know, we're going to throw a few games. Like, he's not that guy yet, and I hope he doesn't become that guy, but right now the pressure is immense. Like, he's going to the arena every day with at least 2 hours of preparation, and then plus whatever he's going to be doing on the show.
The pressure's on Roman because it's WrestleMania season, Mark. And listen, WrestleMania weekend's going to be huge for you. I mean, it's not even just the Hall of Fame that's taking place on Friday. But how about Barcadia on Saturday? The Busted Open Party from 1 to 3 Central Time.
How about that?
I will see real Beatle lyrics at the British Library. Get back.
Tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
I don't crash. One false move.
Devices and speakers.
Nothing's more metal than talking about connected devices and speakers.
Come on.
Yeah. 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 Say that shit, man.
Korn's frontman Jonathan Davis is getting ready to go out on a solo run. He's releasing a solo record.
What? We've
been playing his new song, What It Is, over on Octane. I'm curious, when he goes out on this solo run, if he's going to play any Korn songs, or if it's just going to be all solo material. I think it would be awesome if he played some Korn songs. Just throwing that out there, Jonathan Davis, if you're listening. Solo stuff is cool, but we love Korn. Twisted Transistor for you on Turbo.
That lady just said, we love Korn. And who is this fucking we she's talking about? Because it sure as fuck ain't her and me. This is what they, this is the station they put in the place of the fucking Tony Hawk station that played punk rock. This is what they put in its fucking place. A station that has played Limp Bizkit and Korn back to back. Sure.
Go to. Tarantula, fuck a challenger. Me hoes ain't got no manners, bruh. west of Maryland. So I keep throwing rubber bandits up. Ho, pull your panties up, cause you fuck like a granite. Fuck, you're just an amateur. See, Philippe gon' make this cricket. Just try throw the book at me. I look like half a million worth of heroin when she look at me. But you ain't gotta fuck with me, my knee. But you stuck with me. But how you call the cops on me, my knee?
I don't usually do this unless I'm drunk or I'm high, but I'm both right now, got me talking about my life. I don't usually do this unless I'm drunk or I'm high, but I'm both right now. I don't usually do this unless I'm drunk.
Out for business. I know the Lord is looking at me, but yet it still is hard for me to feel happy. I often drift when I drive, having fatal thoughts of suicide. Bang and get it over with. And then I worry free, but that's bullshit. I got a little boy to look after. And if I die, then my child will be a bastard. I had a woman down with me, but to me it seemed like she was down the kitten. She helped me out in this shit, but to me she was just another bitch. Now she's back with her mother. Now I'm realizing that I love her. Now I'm feeling lonely. My mind is playing tricks on me.
This year, Halloween fell on a weekend. Me and Ghetto Boy the trick-or-treating. Robbing little kids for bags. Till an old man got behind our ass. So we speeded up the pace, took a look back, and he was right before our face. He be in for a squad with no doubt, so I swung and hit the nigga in his mouth. He was going down, we figured, but this wasn't no ordinary nigga. He stood about 6 or 7 feet, now that's the nigga I be seeing in my sleep. So we triple teamed on him, dropping them motherfucking bees on him. The more I swung, the more blood flew. Then he disappeared, and my boys disappeared too. Then I felt just like a fiend. It wasn't even close to Halloween. It was dark as fuck on the streets. My hands were all bloody from punching on the concrete. Goddamn, homie.
Goddamn, homie.
My mind is playing tricks on me.
You're feeling nice. There's nothing else to really do.
VIP, you never know. Especially now we can. You know, they got like beds on planes now. Go to Dubai and all that shit.
If you have the first class treatment and everything, yeah, you have a bed, drinks.
Chilling.
And then it's like, then you're just horny. And then anything can happen, I guess.
Yeah, I'm telling you. It can happen.
Watch, like, porn on your phone.
Relaxing. Nobody tell you to change the channel. Stop looking at porn on the phone. 888-SHADE-45. Let's play one song. And come right back. We talking about having had sex on the plane. Don't lie to us. The Lord's his special.
We got London on the train.
School up. School change.
Too fucking cocky, baby. I'm too fucking cocky. Too fucking cocky, baby. I'm so fucking cocky. Too fucking cocky, baby. I'm too fucking cocky. Too fucking cocky, baby. I'm
so fucking cocky.
I got so many M's in my bank account, I can't even count them. Too many whips, way I switch my cars, I can't even mount them. Too many zeros, good Versace pillows in my phantom. Too many bad bitches, I don't cover them, I just handle them. Off like a layup, I ain't got time to lay up. Met my accountant Ruth, Chris, she told me that I'm way up. Already back for seconds, I ain't even clean my plate up. Bring me up 100 M's and then I put my bay up. Way out in the hill, I just signed a deal. I ain't take no advance, so you know that split was real. All my diamonds carriage, them little pointers be too little. Glaciers in my ear.
1 p.m. Eastern on Thursday, so make sure you head and check it out. Like I said, I'm going to definitely get into the set tripping, the meaning behind it, who he might...
Sometimes I wish you'd come down with Lockjaw.
Oh, actually, they're going to have, before the Hall of Pain, they're going to have the red, white, and the red and black with me and MVP being and powerballing. And then the Hall of Pain. So, it's been, like, pretty five strong eras of a guy that was the same guy just doing, you know, different things.
Well, that guy, that guy's going into the Hall of Fame.
Going into the Hall of Fame, man. I'm really, really happy, man. Like, my wife asked me yesterday, she was like, are you excited about it? And I was like, yeah, I'm excited. And she was like, well, it seems like you're thinking a lot. And the only thing that I could really think of is my acceptance speech. It's like, man, it's like, that's what I'm spending, like, all my time thinking now. Like, what am I going to say to all these people that appreciated me all these years? Like, I can't leave nothing out. You know, it's like, I got to answer all the critics. And I definitely want to answer the critics because they always say, you know, like, don't air dirty laundry. Don't live in the past. Don't hold a grudge. Listen, God is still working on me. I still hold a grudge. So people treated me like garbage. And I ain't the only one. I remember Dwayne and I were, or The Rock and I were traveling together. And somebody put feces in his food box. Oof. And... yeah, I mean, like not, it's not ribs, it's not jokes, it's like dangerous, like, you know, like it was a different time, like people, man, it was some knockdown dragouts, and you know, I hated to be that guy, but I was always taught to fight first, like I mean that was part of my problem when I first came in, is I'd rather fight than talk, and. I think a lot of that, Vince loved that too. He wants somebody that's willing to scrap a little bit. And, I mean, it hurt me and I ended up in Canada, but it was the best thing that could have ever happened because I would have never met Leo Burke. I never would have been able to get the relationship that I had with Brett and Owen. I would have never, I remember Natty and TJ and Davey Jr., all of them, they were like, seven, eight years old, you know, so, I mean, it's like, there was a lot of that experience that was really, really good for me, and to be able to go to Louisville, Kentucky, when I came from Canada, and get introduced to Jimmy Cornette, and Rip Rogers, and Danny Davis, like, man, they put the polish on what was there, and when I came back, like, I was ready to roll, and, you know, I remember having a match with Hugh Morris at the Pillman show. And that was the first time in my career that I was welcomed into the Brotherhood as a professional wrestler when Ricky Steamboat came up and said, hey, man, that was one hell of a match you guys had. He was like, it's good to see psychology still works in our business. He included me in. And I was like, so that's what that feels like. And just the psychology part is what people associate my matches with because they told a story. And that's what we wanted. That's what I want as a fan. I get caught up in the story. That's why last night, being able to see John Cena call out The Undertaker and it not happen, and you not get what you want, I love that more than anything, because when it does finally happen, which I'm hoping now and praying that it does, like, it's gonna be a deafening sound. It's gonna, like, you talk about blowing windows out and glass breaking, and yeah, it's gonna get loud like that.
Well, you mentioned Rip Rogers. Rip Rogers is going to join us at 11 a.m. Eastern Time right here on Busted Open.
The Hustler.
Hustler Rip Rogers. And at 10:30, how about this? Hillbilly Jim is also getting inducted into this year's WWE Hall of Fame, is going to join us. And then we're going to talk to the Nation. 844-796-7874. Back right here on Busted Open.
Missed any of today's Busted Open? You can hear it anytime on demand with the SiriusXM app.
And you may or may not be familiar with him. He was...
The pen to pass, I snatch cause I've had it. I'm not an addict, fiend, it's for static. I see that tape recorder and I'm grabbing. No, you can't have it back, silly rabbit. I'm going to my media assassin, Harry Allen. I gotta ask him.
Yo, Harry, you're a writer, are we that tight?
Don't believe the hype.
Got a Big Mac, that bitch is shred, niggas. Saying my name.
I'm about to tell you this motherfucking story real quick about JetBlue.
Okay.
Yeah, so me and my girl was going on vacation to Cali, man. Long little ride from Savannah, Georgia to Cali. So she was looking good, you know, vacation. Got her hair done, nails done, and she had a little dress on, man. It's a long ass little place. So I was like, hey, let's go to this little...
888-45. Women, you can call up also. The toll-free number is 888-45. Women, you can call also.
What happened?
Let's speak to Uncle Al. Hey, Uncle.
What are they like? All right. I'm here. Sounds like we might have some guests on the podcast today from what I've been seeing on my watch while I've been driving in. That's a sentence. I'm gonna go. So, have a good Tuesday. I'll see you later. Bye.